Listen, Lord, we pray that you might impart these matters of truth into our hearts. And Lord, deliver us from ourselves, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, continuing our verse by verse and here recently word by word study of those things. And Brad, let me give you this right now before I forget it. I know you needed that. I'm sorry. Thank you. Now this is the Apostle Paul, and we in verse number 10 here, Paul said, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine." In other words, Paul lets you know right up front where he stands doctrinally. Now it's important for you to know and to understand, and because you live in a day and time where everybody is saying that doctrine doesn't matter. One of you gentlemen, close those back doors for me, if you would, please. Thank you, Brother David. And you need to understand. There's a lot of churches nowadays. They're taking the name Baptist off of their church. Now that's the denomination, but it is associated or affiliated with a doctrine. And when we put Baptist on the church out there, we put Baptist out there so that people fully know what they're walking into. Now the reason this is important, ladies and gentlemen, is that you don't need to have people have the misconception that all churches are the same. All churches are not the same. We don't believe what other churches believe. Say, well, we're all headed for the same place. I don't know about that. I know that if they've trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're headed for the same place, but they may not be headed in the same sense as far as judgment's concerned at the judgment seat of Christ to receive the same rewards. Doctrine's important. The Apostle Paul says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine." Why don't we put that out there? So if a charismatic rides by and says, "Well, now there's a pretty church out there. It's a nice building, and it seems to be relatively small. And, you know, that's what I'm looking for is a small church where the focus can be on me more than other people. And so I might like to pull in there." And so they pull by, they see the name Baptist, they say, uh-oh. You say, why? Because generally speaking, now it's changing. I had a fellow came through here 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he said, I went to see some of these other churches around here, and they're independent Baptists. He said, but you would never know they were independent Baptists. They didn't have Baptists on the sign, and when you walk in, the music was contemporary music. And you couldn't tell they were Baptists by what they claimed to teach. Now, it's important that you understand, we put that out there. If a charismatic comes in here, they don't walk in the door thinking, well, you know, you didn't tell me what you were to begin with. You need to know what you are. What we are. If you're visiting, you'll get a thing that has our statement of faith. Now, it doesn't have every single thing on it, but it has the basics of what we believe here. Why? Paul says, "Thou hast fully known." No smoke and mirrors. We're not trying to hook you and be something. We don't change the name of our church from being Church of Christ or something that believes water baptism changes you to the Fellowship of Believers or something, and then never tell you that we believe that you're saved by your baptism. We put Baptist out there to delineate or associate us with the things that are biblically true. Now, you know how we are. We've got to always make sure that we clarify that statement, you know, that we're Baptist, but I'm a Bible believer first. So when the Baptist depart from the Bible, then I stick with the Bible. I know that's true. I understand that. But a lot of that's done because you're just arrogant. Like you're wanting everybody to know, you know, I'm a Bible believer first. I just want you to know, I'm not a Baptist. I'm a Bible believing Baptist. Okay, good. Well, thank you very much for making sure we know that. You probably don't even know all the fundamentals of the Baptist doctrine. You just want to make sure you say that so that you don't make anybody think that you're following somebody. Amen it or don't amen it, it's still true. Paul says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine." Now watch, manner of life. How Paul lived in front of other people. His testimony outwardly. Paul says, "You fully know how I live." Paul wasn't one thing in the pulpit, and one thing around certain people, and another thing when he's doing business, and another thing behind closed doors in his house. Fully known my manner of life. In other words, what Paul's saying is it's not something I do, it's what I am. Everything Paul did conducting business, or everything he did concerning the church, or everything he did otherwise, you knew what Paul was by how he acted. Paul wouldn't have had to say very much at all for you to understand that he was a Christian. You'd know there was something different about him. All right, now we go on. We've already gone over these things, just going back over what his purpose was. His purpose after he got knocked off of his horse in Acts chapter number 9 was to preach the gospel, to deliver the mysteries that had been delivered to him. You fully knew that. You knew what when you got around Paul, you knew what his reason for being there was. All right, he says, "You fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith." We've covered that. Long-suffering, we covered Wednesday night. That was a little bit of a difficult thing there. But in long-suffering, The Apostle Paul is trying to get across to you, like in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, that has to do with how you treat other people. You don't have to be long-suffering of yourself. See, everything that he's talking about here is, first of all, the things that point to him, and now what he's fixing to do is he's breaking it off, because long-suffering, charity, and patience have to do with his ministry toward other people. And then I'll show you how the other people treated him in return, which you'll see persecutions, afflictions, and those kind of things here. But the Apostle Paul says, it doesn't matter how much you know and how much you talk, you got to be long-suffering with other people. That's how you manifest Christ to them. Why? They don't grow up as fast as you think you did. And I realize Wednesday might have been a little bit rough on some of you, but it's time that you realize there's more to Christianity than just what you know in your head. You can know everything there is to be in your head, but you got to learn to suffer along with individuals and be around them and give them time to grow up. You're not their pruner. You're not their fertilizer. You're not their water. You're not their sunshine. They're God's to raise in His garden. And if you're going to be around Christian people, the thing you have to learn real quick is you have to learn to suffer long. You say, why? Because they're not like you. And Christians, I know, Christians are just as messed up as unsaved people are. They're just saved. But they come here and try to get help. I know why it is. I mentioned this the other day. Come to 1 Corinthians 13, because the next thing on the deal here is charity. So we wanted to get a definition of that. I don't know why it is that everywhere else you go, you don't walk into Walmart. I mean, unless, I guess maybe some of you do. And you're there just to see who all's there and why they're there and how messed up they are and what they're wearing and that kind of a thing. You probably, if you go to a show or a movie theater or something like that, you probably don't do that. You probably don't even do that at work. You come to church and all of a sudden you get a critical eye about you and you're looking at what everybody else is doing. Why does it matter? Why is that? Why is it when it comes to spiritual things that all of a sudden we become kind of an authority or a legend in our own mind, and all of a sudden we sit in judgment over everybody else? Don't worry about it. They're going to get judged. That's what Paul says in Romans 14. Paul says, why are you judging your brother? No, you're not. I'm not giving you it exactly. But Paul says this. He says, why are you judging your brother? No, you're not, that you all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Why are you so interested in what everybody else is doing? Generally speaking, whenever somebody is so interested in what everybody else is doing, it's because they don't want you looking in their closet. Generally speaking, I'm not sure who it is or where it is that an individual thinks that they have become God's fruit inspector, is what it used to be. In the old days, what it used to be is an individual would try to put you in bondage and say that if you're really saved, the following things. Now, the Independent Baptist changed it from just saving souls to how you get your hair cut, whether or not you wear a dress or not, whether or not you have facial hair, whether or not you wear wire rim glasses, whether or not you listen to certain music, whether or not you come to church, visitation, buses. The list is 900 miles long. Do you wear a tie to church? You don't wear a tie to church? You know, all that kind of stuff. The Southern Baptist said, you know, well, if you're by their fruits you shall know them, was their passage, which has nothing to do with it. But what they said was, if you're really saved, you're winning other people to Christ. You mean what you're doing is you're greasing the machine, feeding the machine with people, so that the machine can continue to run to finance what they're wanting to get done, to finance whatever their dream is in the name of God. Some of you have been in that machine. Now, don't go out of here and say the preacher says it's not you. We don't have to worry about winning souls. I didn't say that. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. But you don't. But that doesn't determine or set you up as to what you are as a Christian. That doesn't define you, whether you win souls or not. Not everybody's a soul winner. You should try, but not everybody can do it. You know what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3? In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, you know, Apollos is there, and Peter's there, and Paul's there, and Jesus is there. One says, I'm of this one, I'm of this one, I'm of this one, I'm of this one. There's conflict going on there. And Paul says, listen, somebody puts the thing in the ground, and somebody throws the water on, and somebody gives it this, and somebody gives it that, but God gives the increase. So you may not be the one to put the fish in the boat, but you did something to help to get the fish in the boat. God's the one that knows who did it, so quit worrying about counting numbers and figuring out how many people you've got in to try to determine whether or not you're saved. If you're saved, it'll show. You ever see the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul talks about a few people that he led to the Lord, but do you ever see the Apostle Paul's emphasis on that? Can you show it to me? You're stunned. You say, why? The Apostle Paul's emphasis is on your fellowship with Jesus Christ and unity in the body of Christ. The rest of it takes care of itself. How come he spends so much time trying to work out unity in the body of Christ? Well, you'd think if people were saved, they could get along with each other, wouldn't you? Well, how come you can't? Because everybody's not like you. But it don't bother you at work. I had the blessed privilege of going to the mall the other day. And real blessing to walk through the mall. And I have to be honest with you, we were there to pick up some things and that kind of stuff. And there were some people in there that are nothing like me at all. But it didn't keep me from going in there and getting what I came to get. I didn't say when I pulled out of the driveway, I'm never coming back there again. Did you see the people that were in there? You get the point. You're going to be long-suffering. You know what you have to learn to do? You'll learn this. You'll learn that the thing that will try your motive the most is people. Why'd you come? Then somebody offended you, somebody upset you. Well, I didn't come to be the people pleaser. I didn't come to be seen of people. Or I didn't come to be recognized. I didn't come to recognize. I came here to get something from the Lord. But isn't that where we get tested? Charity is defined in 1 Corinthians 13. Charity in the dictionary is called, in a general sense, it's love or benevolence, it's goodwill, a disposition of the heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men and to do them good. Charity is an outward demonstration of what you really love. The Apostle Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 13, and watch how firmly he says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, be Hebrew there, and maybe even other tongues, abilities to speak a multitude of languages, and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. You see, Bible believers think that because we know a lot about the Bible, we think that, you know, well, that's the epitome of knowing God. Paul says, if I know everything there is to know, understand all mysteries, and in a sense have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Paul said, without putting what you know into action, it doesn't amount to anything. Well, we all know that, don't we? But isn't it funny how much we focus on how much we know, how much we know, how much we know, instead of who we know? Can I ask you a question? Do they know who you know by how you treat them? By this they shall know that you're my disciples. How's that, Lord? That you love one another. Outward manifestation of what I'm doing for you inwardly. What do you think it took for the Lord Jesus Christ to love you when you were lost and on your way to hell? Well, you know what he's saying? Can you demonstrate that to somebody else? You say, well, now I'm saved and I don't have to do that in the name of separation, in the name of being different. Okay, all right, hold on just a second. Let me finish the statement here. How much like Christ have you been since you've been saved? For all the years you've been saved? Or has it been just the last couple of years you've really gotten things cleaned up and straightened out and you're flying right now and you're high and tight and you're doing right, and now all of a sudden you have become the expert in what Christianity is? You forgot all them years you just did what you wanted. You forgot all the messes in your life and the pit you came from. You forgot all the foolishness you did after you got saved. You know how you know that? By how you treat other people that are doing it now. So, well, it's wrong. It was wrong when you were doing it. God knows it's wrong. It's wrong. I agree with you. Well, it's my job to straighten them out. Why don't you pray for them? Let God straighten them out. Amen. Why are you in such a hurry? You worried about your reputation? Why are you in a hurry for them to get there? Charity. You know what it says? I'll get to it in a minute. Around verse 4 or 5 there, he says, charity suffereth long. Well, how long suffering are you with the brethren? You know so much about the Bible, Christians, you people here. You know the Bible. You could take a Bible and you could preach it as good as I can preach it. You could take a dispensational chart and split the dispensational hair. You can show them the millennial kingdom. You can show them the battle of Gog and Magog. You can show them the battle of Armageddon. You can break it all the way down to salvation before the New Testament, salvation in the New Testament, before Jesus Christ, salvation after Jesus Christ. You can break all those things down and can't even speak to people when they walk out the door in the name of separation. Because you don't want to get cooties. You're trying to manipulate them, are you? Well, that's biblical preaching. You know, you get away from them so they get right. Well, why don't you just be kind to them and say, well, thank God I'm used to being that same pit you're in and I know how to get out. Amen. It's funny how you get when that, you know, say, why? Knowledge puffeth up. You get the big head. That's why most Baptist churches have to have a double door in the back so you can get your head through. And the Bible says this. I don't mean to be rough. It's Sunday school, but Listen, if you love God, it's known. You don't have to demonstrate it. I know some people that don't know anything about dispensations. They don't know a whole lot about doctrine, but they know a lot about God. I'd rather have them praying for me than have some people that praying for me that know all those things. I've said this many times before, but it still bears repeating. A lot of Christians had a better disposition before they got dispensational. Sometimes the reason people don't like to be around independent Baptists is because we're known as being mean as a snake. You got no charity. Well, Paul says, though I have all knowledge, and though I have all mysteries, and though I give my body to be burned. See the passage right there, what he's talking about? I'm going to feed, give all my stuff away, and give my... You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the motive. Why are you doing what you're doing? Some of you are going to be given a gift. What's your reason for giving the gift? Just in return because somebody gave you the gift? 'Tis the season. Why are you giving the gift? Are you doing it to manipulate somebody? Are you doing it out of guilt? What's the motive behind it? Why do you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you come to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you do the things that you do? Paul's saying, listen, the motive is what matters. Paul says, you knew my manner of life. Paul says, you knew my long suffering, how I was with other people. Read 2 Corinthians 11 when you have some time. You'll find out all the stuff that he went through in dealing with individuals, not the least of which is the care of all the church, which everybody seems to think they're the expert in knowing how it ought to be done, but they don't ever want to do it. And then to come along and say, and you've known my charity. Wow, Paul, what do you mean? Well, Paul, we know all about this. Can I ask you a question? Did Jesus Christ form the universe? Did Jesus Christ create the earth? When he met individuals, how come he didn't wow them with all the knowledge? If the knowledge is so much more important than your actions toward others, how come the Lord didn't manifest all the knowledge? How come the Apostle Paul says, I got all the mysteries? Why didn't he sit down and tell them all the mysteries? You know what he's telling them to do? You guys need to learn to get along. You guys need to learn to love one another. You guys need to learn how to do these things. Yeah, he straightened them out every now and then, but that's not where he spent the majority of his time. All right, keep going. Look in verse number 4. He's just going to give you an idea of what the thing is. Do you love God enough to let him love others through you? Preacher, I really love God. Charity is you loving God enough to be willing to give in at all the places where you've been crossed. You love God enough to do that? Well, the Apostle Paul did. He's your apostle. Well, we follow Paul as he follows Christ. Okay, how are you doing? Paul said, listen, I can give my body to be born and give everything away that I got that I own. And if I don't have charity, that's my outward manifestation of what God's done for me inwardly toward other people. I'm nothing. I'm a zero. No matter how much I know in my head, can you put it in practice? You can have the form of godliness and deny the power thereof. What's the power of it? The power is given of yourself over and above that which you're able. You say, what do you have to have? You've got to have Christ in you to love people like that. It's not natural for you to love people like that. It's natural for you to gravitate toward people that love you and are reciprocal. It's not natural for you to love people that are strange, odd, weird, and unusual. But if you take a good long look in the mirror sometimes, I hate to tell you this, there's some people that think you're weird, strange, odd, and unusual. It's just the ones that you're around don't think that of you. That's why you like them. But there's other people that they really don't like you. They're just kind to you. So no, everybody like... No, they really don't. They're just kind to not tell you. If they told you the truth, it'd hurt your feelings. It'd make you mad. But you know what? You have a tendency to just overlook that. And you think, well, I can see everybody putting up with me, but I don't see why I got to put up with everybody. Well, go ahead and do what you want to do. It doesn't make any difference what I say to you, but when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, it'll show up. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't spend all this time in writing a whole chapter on it. Charity suffereth long. Well, did Paul suffer long? Did Christ suffer long? I would say this, not in the sense of Calvary suffering, but the Lord still suffering, meaning in the sense of putting up with us, isn't he? Let me just give you my own personal testimony. Many times since I was 7 years of age, I got saved. I'm positive I got saved at 7. I know I got saved at 7 years of age. I guarantee you there's been many times along the way God should have just knocked me in the head and taken me home. I wish I had the grace my dad had when I was so arrogant and obnoxious because I knew a few things and going to go straighten out a guy that had been in the ministry for over 40 years. But I knew the truth. I was going to fix him. I didn't have enough grace to fill a thimble. Where is the charity? You know so much. Well, where is it in action? How are you helping somebody with that? But bless God, I wasn't compromising. I wasn't worried about compromising. I was worried about whether somebody thought I was going to compromise. It wasn't that I was going to compromise. It was, I don't want them to think I'm going to compromise. So I went way out on the extreme just to make sure, you know, good testimony. Yeah, good testimony. It's one of my dad didn't slap me cross-eyed or break fellowship with me. But he just hung in there and hung in there and hung in there and hung in there. And you've heard the story before. But I was like that. I don't know, maybe you've never been that way. But I can tell you this, some of you are that way now. You got no charity at all. Paul says you're supposed to be given to hospitality. Well, you know how to be kind and gracious to people. I'm not talking about your family. I'm talking about people you don't like. Let me give you some Bible. Peacock perversion. It says to the effect, what good is it if you love somebody or show love to somebody that loves you? That don't prove nothing. You know how I know Christ loved me? He loved me when I was a sinner. He died for me when I was a sinner. How are you doing? Arrogant? Knowledge? Full of head? Boy, you got it. Know everything there is. Cut it, divide it, lay it out just perfect. And can't love the brethren. Well, how are you going to reach people that don't know Christ? The last time I checked, you don't get to know him in your head. You get to know him in your heart. Isn't that right? Notice what he says, charity suffereth long. It's kind. I'm just reading it in the passage. Paul says, you knew my charity. Well, you got to find out what charity is. Well, charity suffereth long, and charity's kind. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I give you a whole lot of verses on kindness. That's interaction with other people. Be you kind. That's not kind to your wife and kind to your husband and kind to your children and kind to the people that you're doing business with. That's the amazing thing to me about people in the church, if I can just be real upfront with you. You'll be more kind to somebody you're trying to get a dollar bill out of than you are to people in the church, and you overlook the sins that are out there that they're committing, but you can't overlook nothing that anybody does inside the confines of the church. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's funny how you are about that, you hypocrite. Well, you know, that's different. They're unsaved. They don't know any better. You know, they shouldn't know any better. What makes you think because somebody comes to church, they know any better? Because you do? How long did it take you to learn it? Wasn't God gracious with you? Wasn't he long-suffering with you? Why can't you be long-suffering with other people? Well, preacher, if I was you, I'd church them. You know about what I know about them? No, and I don't want to know. Oh, but preacher, you know, they've done this, and they've done this, and they've done this. I don't care. The blood of Jesus Christ covers all sins, what the Bible says. The Bible says charity, I'll give it to you in a minute if I get to it, covereth a multitude of sins. Doesn't it? Well, so how come you can overlook the people you do business with and overlook the foolishness going on in your own family, but when it comes here, you can't overlook it? What's that? I don't understand that. I don't get that. What is that? What is that? You can look at your own kids that are doing stuff that are wrong and, oh, well, that's different. But you see somebody step out of line here, and buddy, you'll be the first one to step in line to say, now, preacher, I need to talk to you. Or, brother so-and-so, did you see brother so-and-so? Where's your charity? Long-suffering, right? Kindness, right? Preacher, I don't like all that handshaking here. I came to get something from God. What are you shaking hands for? We're trying to demonstrate kindness. Now, I'm going to show you what a hypocrite you are, okay? I don't mean to be hard with you. I'm going to show you what hypocrites you are. You're getting ready to do business with somebody. You walk into the bank. They stick out their hand. I didn't come here to shake your hand, man. I came here to sit down and do business. You get ready to go buy a car. God help you when you do. You get ready to go buy a car. The guy sticks out his hand. I didn't come here to buy a car. I want to offer you $10,000 for that car. I'll give you $10,000. If you don't give me $10,000, I'm walking out here. No, you don't. You sit there and haggle, and you're gracious with them, and you talk to them, and you spend time because you're trying to get something you want. But you come to church and you can't be bothered with all the frills and the spills. Why they got to sing another song? Why is she singing? Why are they singing? How come the preacher let them sing another one? Oh my God. Am I telling the truth?
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling the absolute truth. Where's the manifestation of Christ in that? It's hypocritical. People know that. They walk into your house at dinner time. Hey, we came here to eat. Sit down, shut up, be glad you got it. No, I'm sorry, that was Christmas time. That's not what you do. You greet them and you have them little, what's the pregame eating stuff? The hors d'oeuvre things. You have hors d'oeuvres, you know, and what's that? Horse of ours. Oh, yeah, horse of ours. You have them little bite-sized things or whatever, and you eat all that kind of stuff, and you, how are you? And it's good to, oh, how are you? And how's your family? Good. How's yours? Fine. So good to see. Good to see you. How have you been? How's things doing? I didn't mean to make you cry, brother. How have you been? Fine. And you're doing fine. Good. Good to see you. Oh, so glad. And how's everybody doing? That kind of thing. Come to church. You can't even speak to them when you get out of your car. Kindness. Am I telling the truth? We've become so spiritual, we're no longer practical. These guys that are in school, they turn in sermons, and you can tell certain ones of them who they read after, because certain ones of them will be technically perfect, but there'll be no practical application in life. Well, folks, can I ask you a question? If all you serve is a technical Jesus, how can you minister to somebody when they're in trouble? You've been through something. So you know what you do? You sit down and go, listen, man, I've been where you're at. I've been in trouble. I've lost. I've done without. I've done this. Let me show you what the Lord did to help me get through. Not just, well, the Bible says, you know, all things work together for good. Them love God, them called according to His purpose. Suck it up and get over it. Let's go. No man at work entangle himself with the affairs of this world. You just got to suck it up. Let's go. Oh, well. That's good for you, maybe. Sometimes you got to sit and cry with them. Zeke did. He said he sat where they sat and wept when they wept. How are you? You know what Jeremiah was known for? You ever read Jeremiah? One of the biggest books in the Old Testament. You know what he's known for? He's known as a weeping prophet. You know why? Because he'd weep with them. Not just technically lay the law down. I'm trying to help you. I guess I sound mean-spirited this morning. I don't mean to. I had an extra cup of coffee this morning. Put my teeth on the edge a little bit, but it was just unusually good this morning, so she made a little extra, you know, and I figured it had to have been for me. It must have been the will of God. So, but folks, I'm under real conviction about this thing, because they'll never learn the things that we know as far as our knowledge is concerned unless they can see the demonstration of who we know. The Pharisees knew a lot about Him, but they didn't know Him. Notice the Bible says charity suffereth long, is kind, it envieth not. You don't want what somebody else has got. Do we need to go over that? Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. We could spend a week on that. Paul never lifts himself up. He magnifies his office, but he never lifts himself up. And you know what Paul says? Paul says, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, and was caught up to the third heaven, and whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, who saw unspeakable things up there. I'm giving you 1 Corinthians 12 here as he goes down through the passage there. And he said, but the Lord gave me this thorn, and I besought the Lord three times for the Lord to take the thing away from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul said, I therefore glory in tribulation and persecutions and sufferings and so on and so forth. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Paul constantly had a reminder not to get puffed up in what he knew. Did you get that? If anybody had ever seen heaven and could tell about it, it would have been the Apostle Paul. How come God didn't let him talk about it? Because Paul would have said, yeah, I've been there, buddy. Yes, sir, God gave me a personal tour. Well, you know what he said? Lest thou should be exalted above measure, I gave thee a thorn in the flesh. Yeah, Lord, I'm telling you, that's really something. Fellas, let me tell you, I got caught up there to the third heaven. The Lord said, what'd you say? Ah, okay, all right. I'm not going to. You know what he says? He's not puffed up. Are you proud of what you know? Or do people know who you know? Are you proud because you can smack a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness backwards? A Catholic, charismatic? Well, then you've learned the doctrine for the wrong reason, and I've taught you for the wrong reason. But you gloat over being able to cut somebody's head off. Only by the grace of God, you weren't raised in a family and taught that same stuff. You ever seen them Mennonites, preacher? Yeah, but can I ask you a question? Was it you that put in your order to be born and be brought to this part of the United States of America? Was it you that put in your order to be born male or female or your skin color? Whether you were yellow or brown or black or white or red or whatever, did you put in that order for it or had gray hair or white hair or no hair? Did you put in that order? And did you put in the order to make sure that you learned the Bible and that you believed it? Or isn't it that you just think you're something special and they're just a bunch of idiots? I look at them people now differently. I know their doctrine's wrong and I preach hard against them because they're putting people in hell. But be careful lest you get puffed up and the only reason that you learn the doctrine is just so you can kill somebody. They're going to hell quick enough. Don't worry about it. They'll be there. They'll get to burn forever. Won't that be a blessing? When you get to see those poor, demented people that come up who've been deceived their whole life and stand up there and give an account to God, which we'll talk about in the morning service, and give an account to God, and then get cast off and burned forever in eternity. Won't you be happy then? I think there's going to be some people, if we go with the mentality we have now. I know why God has to change my mind, because you'd be up there spiking the football saying, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, and rejoicing people going to hell. I was right and you were wrong. Nah. What's your motive? I didn't say don't correct them if they bring the fight to you. But I wonder sometimes if when you were correcting them, if maybe there was a tear and an iron in your eye and a trembling in your voice, if you might have a tent for them to go, man, there's something different about that guy. He knew the Bible, but it seemed like he might have known the author of that thing or something. Something different about that guy. Just a couple of more, and then the little bags will come out there in the back of the seat there for the emergency landing. Doth not behave itself unseemly, indecent, doing things that are wrong and improper, not just out in the world. Seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked. Ooh. Thinketh no evil. Spend a little time on that one. Thinketh no evil. I read commentary again this morning, and the fellow wrote the commentary. He said this. He said, when you catch yourself thinking bad of somebody else, stop right where you're at and turn the corner and forget whatever it was you were thinking. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Thank God you're not in that position. Don't get pharisaical about it. Turn around and go the other way. Push the thought out of your mind. You know what that is? It's called evil surmising. You see somebody and you think you know what they're up to. Now, let me ask you this. How would you know what to think unless you were using yourself as a guide? How would you be able to think what they're up to unless you're looking at yourself and going, well, if I was them, I'd be, where'd you get the information to think about them that way? Well, I just know what they're up to. Why are you so suspicious? I just know they're up to no good. Okay. Well, go hang out with somebody that's up to good then. You don't have to hang out with them. But how many people have been falsely accused? You ever been falsely accused? Do you know what that's like? You ever had somebody to say something about you that's absolutely not true, that's hurtful, that's painful? Well, if you'll take that and bury it real deep in your memory and then start to think when you start thinking wrong about somebody else and you go, well, I know what that's like to be falsely accused, evil thinking, because it ain't no fun. If you've had it happen to you enough times, that stuff's uncomfortable, man. It doesn't make you feel good at all. Does it? Well, should you be doing it with others? Not if you're charitable. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. I have a note here in my Bible, not glad to hear about somebody who's messed up or fallen. I don't know why we're known for rejoicing over the preacher that ran off with somebody or so-and-so that got caught up with such and such and that kind of thing. It's a bad mark on the whole body of Christ. Here's the thing that amazes me about that. They publicize that very quickly, but you don't publicize the stuff going on in your own family. Well, why is that? You shouldn't rejoice over somebody else. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says about David, he says, you've given the enemies of God reason to rejoice. That's a tragedy. I don't want to give them a reason to rejoice. I try to do right, but I can tell you this. The Lord will have an ability to keep things between you and him if you learn to be kind to other people. But if you start manifesting what everybody else is doing, watch out. He may just bring your closet, empty your closet and dump out the laundry basket in front of everybody. Say, well, you're so busy about dumping it out on everybody else, I'll just go ahead and dump your past out in front of everybody. What's the old, I think it was a Chinese thing, he who live in glass houses should not throw rocks. Well, if you're charitable, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Well, preacher, the only way I see that is I'm not gonna condone somebody's sin. I didn't say to condone their sin. But it doesn't mean that you're glad when somebody sins and gets messed up. Why would you be glad to hear about that? Somebody goes out and gets plastered and wraps around a telephone pole and winds up running over somebody and killing them or something like that. Well, you know, that's what happens, you know. Wow. Are we that hard up, folks? Do we have to use somebody else as the poster child for iniquity? And but you ever look at the basis of that? What the basis is you see what they're doing? What we're really saying is, you see what I'm doing? I'm not doing what they're doing. You know what charity says? What hospital they're in, I'll come visit them. Say, why? They need something right then. They just got whopped in the head. Probably a good time to realize somebody's trying to get their attention. But instead, you know, it's kind of like the preacher shows up. It's like, I know, preacher, you don't have to tell me, you know. Well, I wasn't going to tell you. Just a couple more. Maybe we should just continue it for their morning service. The Bible says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, in the truth. That's what you should be rejoicing in. Not in suppositions is what he's saying. You shouldn't rejoice in things and people embellishing stories and stuff. Rejoice in the truth. Rejoice in the Bible. That's good to rejoice in. Notice what he says now. He says, beareth all... Oh, my goodness, man. Beareth all things. Are you charitable? Well, I get through this thing right here and I'm crawling under my desk, man. I'm thinking, well, I'm not very good at that. I don't even bear all things with my own wife. Bear all things, come to a congregation of people, bear all things, comments made, little snide email, little snide text, little phone message on the machine back here, anonymous kind of thing, that kind of, just little stuff. Bear all things, do you? I got to work at it, man. That's a hard one for me. Maybe you got it down pat. How are you putting up with each other? Bearing all things. That's not like picking up a stack of lumber or weights in a weight room or something like that. That's with each other. That's interaction with each other. Well, they didn't show up. Well, they didn't work. Well, they didn't do this. Well, they didn't do this. Well, they should have done that. Well, they should have done this. Well, they should have done this. Well, they should have done... Beareth all things. Well, they didn't speak. Well, they didn't... Beareth all things. Believeth all things. That's the things that are right, the things that are good, the things that are best. You contrast that with the statements above so that you know that those things are right. Hopeth all things. Here we go again. Endureth all things. My goodness, man. So if I'm charitable, when the Lord puts me in the fiery furnace, I endure all things. The Lord puts me in a storm, I endure it. The Lord takes a loved one, I endure it. The Lord gives me a physical ailment, I endure it. Endure all things. I mean, if I'm going to really manifest charity, that's how people are able to see the Lord in me, is that I learn to endure those things. Why? Because in verse number 8, charity never fails. Somebody that has real charity for you, it'll never go away. It's the real deal. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, they got charity. It never goes away. You say, what is that? That's the Lord's personality right there. You know what the Apostle Paul says? I'll go over the rest of this stuff for you tonight because it's already 10:30 and we got a baptism and some other things. You know what the Apostle Paul says? Paul says you ought to be increasing in your charity. The outward manifestation of Christ in you toward others. And ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you being here for Sunday school. We got a few visitors that are here, and it's not always quite so pointed, but it's something to consider. The church has lost its focus, its center point. It's become all about the box instead of what's inside the box. Christmas time's coming up here, and you give gifts and that kind of a thing, and so on and so forth. And I won't get in a big argument with you about that. You give presents and that kind of a deal. And so you go out here and you give your kid a, I don't know, I don't even know what kids have anymore. It's probably something electronic or whatever. Cost you some hard-earned dollars and that kind of a thing. And you set it out there and you make it, and your wife wraps it in a nice box and puts a bow on it and that kind of a deal. The treasure's on the inside of the box, right? And so the kid sits down that morning and goes to open up the present and just keeps playing with the box. And you keep saying, look inside the box, look inside the box. And you just keep looking at the box and playing with the box and save the bow on the box and look at the box. And I really like the box. And you're thinking, yeah, but it's not about the box. It's about what's on the inside of the box. Mary broke the box so that which is on the inside can get out. We make it too much about the wrapping. What a pretty package. But what's on the inside is what needs to get out. How does it get out? You disregard the box. You break it and let him out. That's the real manifestation of the Lord. Father, bless your word this morning, the Sunday school hour. I pray you'll bless the baptismal service that's to follow, and bless the church service. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's have a baptismal service here.